Well, it's that time of the morning where we turn our attention to technology. And every week we are joined on the line on this show and Weekend Early Breakfast Show by editor at large of mybroadband.co.za, Jan Vermeulen. He joins us to unpack some of the tech issues from the week. And this week we discuss how Vodacom usually pays for its ideas. And we discuss what might be the cure for cancer. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Tell me a little bit more about this possible cure for cancer.
Yeah, this is some very interesting research coming out of Israel from Accelerated Evolution Biotechnologies. They're working on a new treatment where that they're calling Mutato, which is kind of cute, but it's short for multi-target toxin. The idea is to put a toxin to cancers inside a virus that you then inject into your body, and that virus then targets the cancer cells and kills them, simplistically. So it's like a new form of chemical therapy that we've seen for cancer so far, but the idea is to make it far more directed and not kill off so many healthy cells in the process. There's been some criticism of this. It sounds very promising, but currently the treatment has only been tested on mice so far, and there are other experts saying that, you know, from mice to humans, or mouse to market, as they put it, can take 6 to 7 years, you know, going through the necessary clinical trials and stuff. So this isn't a kind of thing that's really going to be on the market within a year, but the year timeline might be referring to how soon they can have treatments ready to test on humans. And so still some promising developments in that regard.
Yeah, for me, that's, that testing part is a bit interesting, because you would wonder to yourself at what stage cancer this would work best as. And if you're dealing with somebody who's literally at the ends of their life and doesn't have much hope, for them to partake in research that may or may not, you know, cure cancer, you might have some very eager people to want to participate in something like that.
Definitely. One of the sad realities of terminal illnesses like this is, yes, there are plenty of people who would be more than willing to submit themselves to this kind of test treatment. And as soon as the treatments are approved for clinical testing, I'm sure there'll be no shortage of people putting up their hand to say that you can test this on me.
I also wondered to myself, Jan, if there was sort of a sliding scale of how much money gets spent on different research. Cancer's got to be one of those diseases that gets the most money and the most research put in. And you would think that the developments in DNA coding and mapping and that sort of thing, we would have been further along.
Well, that's part of the reason we are as far along as we are, is precisely because of the advancements in the industry and the amount of money that's being thrown at curing cancer. So there are just, unfortunately, a couple of diseases that despite the money and the political will to produce cures for them, so HIV is another example, it's just a tough nut to crack. And so even this one, there are quite a few skeptics who say that, you know, it's not necessarily true that they can look at what's working in mice and say that this will work in humans. So until this treatment has been proven in humans, the one critic said it's almost irresponsible for these researchers to claim that they've got a cure for cancer, for all cancers, in the works. They should really wait until, but obviously, I mean, there's motivations behind going to the media and making your claims. You want to drum up support and get the financial support you need to conduct your clinical trials and stuff. And so the game is quite complicated, but also, yes, people should temper their excitement. This is very exciting research, but we're still quite a few steps away from saying we have a cure for cancer.
Yeah, no, but I think, even the people who are naysayers must be hoping that you know, at some point we get this massive breakthrough. And even though it sounds, you know, it's only been tested on mice, I think even though those are the levels at which we are at, like, you just hope that at some point somebody gets something right and all of that research and testing, everything gets done, because the amount of people affected by cancer now must just be astronomical.
Right, right. The direct quote was, I mean, I'd love there to be a cure for cancer, but I do not believe them in the absence of good human evidence. Mm. So when you're dealing with scientists in particular, they're going to say, you know what, I want to hope, but I'm not going to hope in the absence of evidence.
Yeah.
And so, as exciting as this research is, there's still a huge hole in the evidence needed to really say we have a cure for cancer.
And we move on to Vodacom, who have revealed that they've paid some big sums of money for ideas. And this is on the back of the Please Call Me saga that's still ongoing.
Right. And so Vodacom, so news that's come in just before the weekend, was that they paid Nkosana Kenneth Makate, or offered to pay him 49 million rand for his idea that ultimately got turned into Please Call Me. And it's also said that previously the highest amount it has ever paid for an idea that helped the company to an employee is 500,000 rand.
Mm.
And so we also compared that to some of the other programs, you know, inside companies. Under former CEO Michael Jordan, for example, FNB offered a bounty, as it were, of 1 million rand for an idea that the bank ultimately implements into an innovation that the bank actually ends up using. And so those are some of the largest sums of money that I know of in the industry as a reward to an employee for coming up with an idea. A lot of companies are quite happy to say, you know what, you're an employee of the company, you earn a salary, and so any intellectual property you come up with at the company belongs to the company, no reward, other than, you know, a firm handshake, a pat on the back, and maybe a bit of a bonus at the end of the year.
That's the side of it for me that I find so interesting, is that surely somewhere in somebody's contract it should say, any ideas that you generate through, you know, your hours working at the company should then fall to the company.
Right. The big mistake Vodacom made here, as best I can piece the case together, is that there was a promise to Makate. Makate's superior said, or at least the person who Makate presented the idea to, effectively made a promise that he would be compensated for the idea. But the exact amount of that compensation was not stated. And he was not compensated for it at the end of the day. So Vodacom ultimately shirking its promise there. That's not me saying it. That's a court ruling. To add sort of insult to injury here is that later down the line, the former Vodacom CEO, Alan Knott-Craig, in his book, actually credits himself with coming up with the idea for Please Call Me.
Mm.
And sort of acknowledges, you know, his second in command at the time for helping him realize the idea, when in fact probably none of this is true. There's a third factor here that hasn't really been spoken about in years, but an MTN employee, a former MTN employee with the name of Ari Khan, actually came up with the idea that ultimately became Please Call Me. MTN actually rolled it out before Vodacom even started down the road of Please Call Me. And so the idea that Makate came up with actually led to intellectual property that had actually been developed by MTN already. MTN had filed for and had been awarded a patent for this technology, and I believe Khan's name is on this patent. But also, yes, Khan didn't receive a special payment for his work. He was a consultant to MTN. This was part of the work. He was acknowledged in the patent. And ultimately, listening to some interviews that Khan most recently gave, there was a huge fight between Vodacom and MTN over this patent. And ultimately, Vodacom's power in the industry allowed it to just kind of muscle its way out of having to license it from MTN, from the sound of it.
I find it all fascinating, Jan, because who is even using Please Call Me's anymore? But that's sort of a moot point. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is the editor at large at My Broadband. And if you want to check out any of these stories and a whole bunch of other more stories that are a lot of the time related to technology, go to mybroadband.co.za and go and check out. They've got a really cool website there. A lot of content that comes out of that website. There's a lot of forums and discussions that take place. A really, really great place for you to go and find out more about technology and the latest stories in the technology world.